Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The Federal Reserve announced Wednesday it's keeping interest rates steady. But if you got stocks or a 401k, should you make a move in anticipation of a rate reduction potentially coming later in the year? We'll throw some questions at the chief investment strategist over at PGIM Fixed Income in just a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Temperatures heat up in the summer, but so does rent. A report from HotPads, that's a subsidiary of Zillow, points out that renting in the summer can cost consumers more than $100 a month in the U.S.'s largest markets. HotPad says that job growth, school schedules if parents want a way to avoid pulling kids out of school to move, and the better weather are factors that can drive the amount of demand in the rental market and often pushes rent prices up during high-demand summer months. Now, in terms of where you'll pay more during popular times to move, Columbus, Ohio comes in first with a 7% premium over the median monthly rent. That's followed by Buffalo, New York at 6.1% and Oklahoma City at 5.7%. In New York City, by the way, May is when renting perks up and renters pay a 4.7% average premium. And the annual survey of U.S. car buyers released by J.D. Power indicates new vehicle quality leveled off within the past year after 4 years of improvement. J.D. Power says the majority of brands performed worse in this year's survey results. The numbers were brought down by consumer complaints of paint imperfections, also check engine lights and brake and suspension noises. And there were more advanced technology issues as well. While owners reported progress using multimedia displays and software, that's often been a trouble spot for automakers in recent years, drivers raised issues with advanced driver assistance features, a category that includes adaptive cruise control and lane departure warning systems. Overall, the survey gave high marks to three Korean brands, Genesis, Kia, and Hyundai. Ford and Lincoln were in the top five as well. But the highest score of any specific car model went to the Porsche 911.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they've created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Eno catches over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, and then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
On Wednesday, Federal Reserve officials held interest rates steady, but they reiterated that cutting rates could be an option if the economic outlook weakens. So how should investors play the market with an interest rate cut a real possibility? We've got PGIM Fixed Income Chief Investment Strategist Robert Tipp on the line with us. So, Robert, where has the smart money been up to now, capitalizing on what the Fed has done in the past, say, 6 months?
I think there have been a couple areas, profit opportunities in the bond market over the last 6 months. The principal one has been simply the play to stay fully invested in the market, and if anything, to have an above average sensitivity to interest rates or being long duration in order to capitalize on the drop in rates. The other area, of course, has been to, within the fixed income markets, try to find the areas that offer incremental yield, whether those are in structured product or in corporate bonds, in emerging markets, select emerging markets, and that kind of thing. And those have had a sluggish quarter in the second quarter, but they had strong performance year to date. And those have offered incremental yield, and those spreads have come in offering some capital appreciation as well. So that's what's been working in the bond market. And of course, generally, this year, equity markets have risen, although that's slowed down in the second quarter with the trade frictions heating up.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said an interest rate reduction is an option he and the Fed officials have at the ready. So let's say that they drop rates before the end of the year. In fact, some are saying, not the Fed, but some are saying it could happen at the end of July. How does somebody put themselves into position? to capitalize on that? When you say expose themselves to interest rates, what specifically could they do?
Right now, what's priced in over the balance of the year is that they're going to take the Fed funds rate down into the 160s from right now the 230s. So you have a few interest rate cuts priced in. So if your strategy was going to be to position on the front end of the yield curve for interest rate cuts, if that hurdle is not met and exceeded, you're actually not going to make any money being long the front end of the curve. A 10-year treasury at 2%, you can ask yourself the question, where is the Fed funds rate going to be on average, say, over the next 10 years? And obviously, if you look backwards long enough, you would see that that Fed funds rate averaged significantly more than 2%. But there are a couple reasons to believe, I think, that from 240, it's pretty much one way from here. The rate at which the Fed funds rate is going to fall is in question. But number one, most major markets in the world, whether they're sluggish economies with a more aged demographic like Japan, or even a high growth economy like Australia or New Zealand with a more rapidly growing population, or someplace in between like the Eurozone, interest rates are lower than the United States. Most of the short rates are at a one handle in Australia, New Zealand, and of course, in the slower growing economies of Europe and Japan, they are sub-zero. So people are paying to store their money in those jurisdictions, and of course, they're getting over 2% in the U.S. The dollar is creeping higher, and that's probably an unsustainable configuration over the long run. You're going to see convergence, and it's probably not entire convergence, but movement of convergence over the longer term. And then, of course, at some point when we have a slowdown in the U.S. economy, the Fed will probably be forced to cut rates substantially and keep them substantially lower than they are now for a significant amount of time. So in other words, the average Fed funds rate may end up being 1.5 over the long run, or maybe even lower than that. And so I think investors may find that, you know, investing in a 10-year or a 30-year or securities that are pricing off of a 10-year or 30-year is what gets them the best performance over time. So it's not an exciting environment, but the environment we've been in the last handful of years, it's not a bad environment. You need to remain fully, in our view, engaged in the markets at your strategic allocation to fixed income, and the lower risk and the higher risk products, and that's probably going to have the best result rather than trying to fiddle at the front end with exactly timing the Fed.
So let's talk more in the short term. Let's say the Fed winds up reducing rates twice by this time in 2020. How do people see the effects of that in the economy?
We're seeing a bit of a deceleration in the U.S. economy, and we've seen inflation drop away from their target. So there's a real tug of war where the traditional economists are saying, hey, unemployment's low, wages are accelerating a little bit, we're going to get inflation. But to a practitioner, non-economist like me, I'm looking at inflation ex food, energy, and shelter, and that's actually less than 1%, and it's decelerating. So what I would guess is unless we see a change in these dynamics towards something that we haven't seen for a really, really long time, and therefore I kind of think is unlikely, which is some kind of price-wage spiral towards higher prices that people are imagining, unless you see that, I think the Fed is going to end up kind of drip feeding these eases because they're failing to hit their inflation target. And presumably they see some relationship between inflation and their monetary policy and growth. In other words, if they're running a policy that's causing a persistent inflation undershoot, then that could be costing the economy and go some part of the way towards explaining why this is one of the slowest expansions on the post-war record.
Okay. Now let's say an investor is comfortable in stocks in the market, not comfortable in bonds, not comfortable elsewhere, but in stocks. Where do you recommend they put their money, let's say for the rest of this year and for the first half of 2020? If we were to assume, and we don't know for sure, if we were to assume that the Fed drops rates, Where do you think the best money goes in terms of stocks in the stock market?
You know, again, in terms of the big picture and in terms of looking at strategy, I think what you're saying, you know, resonates with people, that interest rates are low and they should have an imbalanced investment approach that emphasizes cash and stocks. And in my mind, they're ignoring certainly the history of this century, which is that if there is a crash or an unexpected drop in the markets or the economy, and it could be for economic reasons or it could be for policy reasons or just simply some kind of market vicious cycle, if there's a crash in the market and the economy that hurts stocks, you will probably see interest rates go down and bonds benefit. I think that this is a good environment for equities. They're not excessively priced, and I think they should be benefiting from what's really a drop in the equilibrium level of interest rates. A drop in the equilibrium level of interest rates should boost the present value of all future cash flows, including equity earnings and dividends. So I think it is a good environment for equities and people should be involved there. But I think they should probably be balancing that with fixed income, which I think is going to outperform cash over the long run. There are opportunities in the bond market, given the confusion about the level of interest rates and the direction of the economy. And that kind of staying with the long-term strategic mix of stocks and bonds is going to be the best approach for investors in this environment, as it has been and typically is.
All right. That's PGIM Fixed Income Chief Investment Strategist Robert Tipp on the line with us. Robert, thanks for coming on the show.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.